the concept of Rinna Sidra, that there's an idea of when a person is in the middle, of learning a sugya, so you're not supposed to ask him something shaloki inyan. Person saying shurim above mitzia, so if a Talmud raises his hands in the middle of the shiur and asks the shayla masechta Shabbos, it's not right. The Gemara says that it can sometimes embarrass the Rebbe because the Rebbe doesn't know the answer. He's not holding that particular sugya. So the halacha takes that into consideration that it's not appropriate to really interrupt. But a person is learning a particular seder in something, so he's supposed to stick to what you're doing at that point. Nevertheless, the halacha tells us that shleishim yoyin kedem achag, when it's 30 days before Pesach, or the other yom tov as well, then any question that's related to the chag, the Pesach, is always considered to be shalki inyan. So if the Rebbe's in the middle of saying a shiyan yavamis, and it's 2 weeks before Pesach, and the Talmud asks the question, he wants to know how to kasher his kitchen, so the Rebbe's not allowed to brush him away. He has to answer the question. I don't know whether he has to answer in the middle of the Tosfos, I'm not sure. But he has to treat every question that's in Yonah B'Yayim as being something that's relevant for that time and place. So based on that Svara, maybe we really should be giving a shiur in some Zuchas Pesach now. Usually during this slot, we try to take different shilas, different halacha mice issues that have come up over the weeks, months, and try to delve into them and understand them. But usually what we do is Yom Tov, we try to take a little bit of break and try to touch on in Yonah B'Yayim. Nevertheless, I thought that although Beit Hashem will have, hopefully, two more weeks or so, now shiur before Pesach, I thought that it would be really apropos now, since we do try to always keep the sugyas in terms of... We try to keep the sugyas in terms of Yonah B'Yayma and related to things that are relevant lamaisa for us. But I thought it's extremely appropriate to talk now, just in terms of really, in a sense, the sugya that we're in now, and the sugya that we're in. I know many people are starting to get ready for Pesach, ourselves included. But the sugya right now, of course, first in everybody's mind is the issue that's facing us, facing Klai Yisrael, of course, facing the entire world. So rather than just saying that we're going to talk about one or two shilas, I think I can say about the shilas, ad ki chadal l'spor ki ein mispar. I said the amount of shilas that have come the way of Rabbanim in the last couple of days are things in our wildest dreams we couldn't have dreamt of, couldn't have envisioned. Who would have ever in a million years thought that in the year of Toshin Tei we would be facing questions of such bizarre proportions, questions that were asked hundreds of years ago in times of Shasta Magefa. So again, we're not going to have time right now tonight to talk about any particular problem. As time goes on, we'll probably have some chance to reference back some of the more fascinating ones that have come our way. But I want to really learn the sugya together tonight, almost the sugya of Eis Tzara. What exactly is the halachic status of what we are in right now? There is no question in anybody's mind that we are in a very unique status in history and in terms of halach as well. That is the sugya of Eis Tzara. So let's see if we can delve into a little bit and see what are some of the halachic ramifications in Eis Tzara? What are some of the differences that play out in halacha and hashkafa in terms of living in an Eis Tzara? So I think it begins with the first of the mamakamas. Hope everyone was able to print out. Mamakamas came through. So we got thumbs up. Everyone got the mamakamas? Test if we got them. Okay. Hope everyone got them. So
those that don't have their microphones muted, please mute your microphones.
There's a way for me to mute. Am I the leader in this group?
Yeah, but it's pretty good.
I can mute everybody, right? Hold on. Let me
yes.
Hold on. Give me
the bottom participants.
Yeah, I got it. Mute them all. I'm muting them. I really learned how to do this. I'm already becoming, I would say, not a pro quite, yes, but slowly but surely getting there. Okay. Okay, even let the participants unmute themselves, the shot at Chag Gadol, so use your discretion whether if you got some smiles at Ari in that one. Okay, good. Good call out. All right, that was Ari Wotelski, not Ari Nash. Good, it's a call off metal. So back to our stories. Let's learn together the Sugya of Eis Tzara. So the Sugya of Eis Tzara begins in the first of the Mamatomos. It's the Gemara Maseches Tainus in the days of an Aleph, where the Gemara is not even really talking about Eis Tzara, but it sets the stage for the discussion of what you do in an Eis Tzara, and that's the Tanya. Ahavos, Hashem Elokeichem, lo'avdo b'chol levavchem. Tanya says that you have to be Oiv Hashem, and you have to be Ovid Hashem, b'chol leiv. You have to serve Hashem with your entire heart. What does that mean? Eizi Avedishi b'leiv. What does it mean to be Ovid Hashem with your heart? Usually the term Avoda refers to like Avoda HaKarbonos, That's an avoda biyadayim. That's not an avoda belave. So what is the meaning of avoda shebelave? Have you omer zot tefillah? This refers to davening. Tefillah is something that, of course, we recite the words of tefillah, but a tefillah without kavanah is not really a tefillah. Kavanah, avedas alev, is an integral part of tefillah, and that is the mitzvah olah of the bichal levavchem. So the Rambam has a very, very famous comment about this Gemara, the very first Rambam, in Hilchos Tefillah, for Alkalach Aleph. Mitzvahs esel l'spala b'chol yoyim, there is a positive mitzvah in the Torah, the daven every day, shenema ve'avadet emes Hashem l'keichem, yipi ha'shmu alamdu, that we have a tradition, she'avod nizu hi tefillah. This refers to tefillah, shenema l'av b'chol levavchem. Omru chachamim, the Chabab have told us, ezi avedi shebelev zu tefillah. Nevertheless, says the Rambam, even though it's true that tefillah is a mitzvah min ha-Torah, ein minyan ha-tefillah min ha-Torah. You don't have to daven three times a day min ha-Torah. The ein mishnah tefillah zayis min ha-Torah. The text of the tefillah, the Shemoneh Esrei, is not diaraita. The ein tefillah is ban kavua min ha-Torah. There is no set time for tefillah. You don't have to daven dafka in the morning, afternoon. Any time that a person davens min ha-Torah once a day, every day, that is the bare bone minimum. That is the mitzvah deraita of tefillah, says the Rambam. So the Rambam took this Gemara very, very seriously, that there is a mitzvah deraita of tefillah, but the Rambam says that tefillah deraita is not the format of tefillah that we're familiar with brachas, with Shemoneh Esrei, with maniyat tefillah, the whole nine yards. That is all midirabanan, that was all instituted in the days of the Anshe Knesset HaGedola, in the days of the Yiyah Ba'isheni. But the real mitzvah deraita of tefillah is just to daven, just to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's it, in whatever shape or form, time, language, words, whatever you want, just speak to the Rabbeinu Shalom every single day. That's the mitzvah deraita of Olah Avdu B'chol Levavchem. So there is a very, very famous discussion about this Rambam, that the Ramban takes to task this Rambam, and the Ramban argues very, very strongly, the Ramban appears in Sefer HaMitzvot, very, very strongly against this Rambam, and the Rabban claims that it is not true. There is no daily obligation of tefillah. The daven even once a day is not a mitzvah min ha-Torah. So what is tefillah d'araisa according to the Rambam? If it's not every day, then when is it? So the Rambam makes reference to what we have in the third of the Ma'amar Kamos. I left the Rambam itself off the Ma'amar Kamos. It's a very, very long Rambam. Those who have a lot of time in their hands can take a look at the Ramban and say it's a mitzvah. I don't remember the number of the mitzvah it is. It's the Rambam's mitzvah. I think it's the Dalit. You can double check me on that one. But it's a very, very long hasaga of the Ramban. So the Ramban has question and question, attack and attack against the Rambam, and finally throws his hands up and says, tefillah is not diaraita, except for one time. And that is, referencing now the third of the sources, third of the Mamakonis, Apostle in Tashas Balos, Chab Chitavon, Luchamabi Arsachem, Alastar ha-tarer etchem, ha-rei osem b'chat sotros, v'nizkar etem l'fnei shem l'keichem v'nishatem yadichem. War, because someone is coming to attack you, alastar ha-tarer etchem, so part of the mitzvah of Shas Luchama is to blow the chat sotros, to blow the silver trumpet, and by blowing the silver trumpet, you will be remembered in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'nizkar etem l'fnei shem l'keichem. So the Ramban sees in this mitzvah of Tzir Chatzotzer, not just a maisa of blowing, but actual a call for tefillah. But the blowing of the chatzotzos is like a tefillah, not all that different than tekiyah shofar is a form of tefillah. And it's interesting, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, we spoke about this many times in the past, before Rosh Hashanah time, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah learns out many of the details of tekiyah shofar from tekiyah chatzotzos. The fact that we blow tekiyah, the fact that we blow truas, that shofar and chatzotzos, although they are different instruments, and they're made differently, one is a ram's horn and one is a silver trumpet, but they are similar, that they blow the same sounds. They both blow tkiyas, they both blow truas. They are so close to one another that actually referencing back to our davening on Rosh Hashanah, when we daven on Rosh Hashanah, the last of the psukim that we quote in the brach of shofros is a bizarre process. It's this process of tkiyas and chatzotzos, of yom tzimchas of vadechem. We talk about the blowing of the chatzotzos. It's very strange because we're not even talking about chatzotzos. We're talking about shofar. So Rishonim basically explained that even though shofar and chatzotzos are different, but they're very similar. And the similarity, according to Ramban, is they're both calls of tefillah. They're both methods, they're both mechanisms of tefillah. The Ramban says that the Torah is telling us that we have to blow chatzotzos, b'shachar l'chama, that it's understood, it's self-understood, that we have to daven b'shas lochama as well, because you cannot have kiyas chatzotos without tefillah. That would be a third. The whole point of the chatzotos is the iris alev of tefillah. So just as you have to blow chatzotos, you have to daven, and then the Ramban takes it one step further and he says, this is not limited just to shas lochama, but this refers to other tzaros as well. The Mishnayos in the time is to speak about blowing chatzotos on the other times of great duress, other times of great tzorech, great tzoras. The Torah says, "La tzara tzorech chem," comes to include all tzoras, any tzara. And the Gemara spells it out: whether the tzara is a famine, whether the tzara is a drought, whether the tzara is a plague, a magepa. No matter what the tzara is, the tzara that encompasses so much of Klal Yisrael is called it a tzara, and therefore tkiyas chatzotos is appropriate. And tefillah is required, not just suggested, but is required on a level of the araisa, according to the view of the Ramban. So again, according to the Rambam, tefillah the araisa is every day. According to the Ramban, tefillah the araisa is only b'shas tzara. It's a fascinating, almost like insight of the Rav into like the human, into the world that we live in. So the Rav explained that even the Rambam agrees that tefillah is basically a tzara. It's just that the Rambam understood that you wake up in the morning and walk out of your house, that's already an Eitzara. Ramban looked at grandiose Eitzara. Ramban would qualify the year Tavshin Pei, the month of Adar, as an Eitzara. The Rambam would say, everything's an Eitzara. Man of Kamina, whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's the car you're getting into, whether who knows, Khalila, what could happen to a person steps out of bed in the morning. It could be, who knows, me there by Yilud Yoyim. So the Rambam says, every day is an Eitzara. And the Ramban says, no, not true. In a certain Ashkafic sense, or in a Halachic sense, there is something unique to an Eitzara. According to the Ramban, we who are right now in a very much, we're in an Eitzara L'chol HaDeis, I don't think there would be any Pesek today who would argue that we're not an absolute Eitzara L'chol HaDeis, and therefore, Tefillah takes on a whole other level. Tefillah becomes elevated to become a Mitzvah D'Oraisa. Every day, Tefillah may be D'Rabbanan, but now Tefillah is for sure a Chi of D'Oraisa. One would even think it would be appropriate to blow Chatzotos also. So it's interesting, the Magen Avraham raises the question, how come we haven't blown Chatzotos in hundreds and thousands of years? No one ever heard of blowing Chatzotos. So the Magen Avraham claims that the mitzvah of blowing Chatzotos only applies in Eretz Yisrael. As the Pasuk says, Chitavon Mechama Bi'aretz Lechem. So the Magen Avraham lived in Poland in the 1500s. There were plenty of wars and plenty of plagues and plenty of famines and plenty of droughts in Poland. And the Magen Avraham says the reason why we don't blow chatzotos is because we live in Chutzlar. Moshe Feinstein writes in the Tshuva that even in Eretz Yisrael we don't blow chatzotos today. They don't blow chatzotos. They have not blown chatzotos b'shas mechom in Eretz Yisrael. I don't think anybody's blowing chatzotos today in Eretz Yisrael. And the reason why, says the Moshe, we don't blow chatzotos today is because chatzotos are only blown the zman shebeis hamikdash hayakayim. Because the chiddush of Moshe, others don't say this. The Moshe says that the ikar chatzotos are used Bershasa Karbonas, the Torah described in Tash Dalosa using the Bershasa Karbonas, and then you also blow the Bershasa Tzara. So Moshe understood that the mitzvah Chatzaitis is to take the vehicle of the Karbonas, to take the Chatzaitis that are usually used Bershasa Karbonas, and to blow the Bershasa Mulchamas, to blow the Bershasa Magefa, that's the mitzvah. That's what Moshe Nebuch Arachmanas enough, we don't have those Chatzaitis. And we can't even get Machon HaMikdash to make a Chatzaitis. That's going to help. The Chatzaitis have to be made with Tzarech HaVedis HaKarbonas. And the mitzvah of chatzaitis is to blow those same chatzaitis. You don't make chatzaitis for mukham. You don't make chatzaitis for megasis. You don't make chatzaitis for drought. So for whatever the reason is, we're not technically blowing chatzaitis today, but we are davening. Many of us daven ma'ariv already. Some will daven ma'ariv after the shiur. But our tefillah is a different tefillah. It's a chalashem tefillah. The tefillah that we daven today is not the tefillah that we davened a month ago. A month ago was the tefillah that are born according to the Ramban. Today, every tefillah, shachas min chamav, every tefillah we have is man hazeh, these times, is that elevated to become a real bona fide mitzvah d'oraisa. So clearly, Eitzara labeled tefillah as a different type of a tefillah, and that is a halachic, that's not a hashkafah, it's not a hashkafah. It's a different kind of a tefillah. The Mishnah Maseches Brachos, in the fourth parak, speaks about if a person finds themselves in a mokum sakana, they're in a dangerous place, they're traveling, they're in a dangerous place, and they just can't stop, they're in a very bad neighbor, they can't stop, get out of the car, and daven minchas, not shayach, stop right now. So the Mishnah said that Tanoim instituted a very, very short tefillah to say, you're not going to be Yotish when it's right. It's just like almost like a make-believe, like a little like a chick-chock, like a very, very fast kind of a tefillah kisara. Why is that so important to daven a tefillah kisara in a dangerous place? That's the Pachinuch, right? Because you have to daven with the Raisa. The tefillah would have only been with the Rabban and the Eitzara, then Chazal wouldn't have made a special tefillah. You can't daven, you can't daven. The only the letter Patre. But the reason why Chazal instituted a special nusach for the Shas HaTakana is because you can't risk the Shas HaTakana. That's when you can't take the easy way out and say, no, I can't daven a big deal, daven tomorrow. No. The tefillah you can daven tomorrow will be a regular tefillah of the Rabban, and now the tefillah of the Eitzara. But Eitzara impacts on other mitzvahs that there as well, not just tefillah. One of the other mitzvahs that impact is the mitzvah of tshuva. I don't know if anyone heard, the other night I gave a shiur that was presented by Heichal. It was more a little bit more of a drush in terms of we spoke about the goals of tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, avinus, ra, gezeira, how they play out in terms of a tshuva, and how they play out even outside the realm of a tshuva. We spoke a little bit about tshuva tzibra, tshuva tzayochin, tshuva, etc. So here we're picking up a little bit along the line some of those themes, but elaborating a little bit more on the world of halacha. And there, of course, is a mitzvah of tshuva. And there's no question there's a mitzvah of tshuva. And if I would ask you, when does the mitzvah of tshuva take place? Is there a time of the calendar when there's mitzvah of tshuva? Well, the answer is not really. The mitzvah of tshuva is all the time. Any time a person does an aveira, so as soon as they realize they did the aveira, the Rambam writes in the beginning of the tshuva, they have to chayz b'tshuva right away. You shouldn't wait till Yom Kippur to chayz b'tshuva. Nevertheless, even though tshuva is really a mitzvah that's all the time throughout the year, there is something unique about Yom Kippur. Every day of the year, we don't spend clapping Achet 100 times over. But in Yom Kippur, we spend the whole day saying Achet, Rishamnu, Degen, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Mechila. So what is it about Yom Kippur? Why is it somehow that the mitzvah of tshuva takes on such a primary role on Yom Kippur itself? So the Rambam has a fascinating formulation in the fourth of the Mamakom. Very almost like a frightening Rambam. Let's take a look at the Rambam. Let's pick it up on the middle of the third line, the fourth of the Mamakom. The Rambam of Cheshuva, or Gimel Halacha Gimel. Rambam tells us that Kishem Sheshoflin Zechiyot Adam Avinosa B'Shas Nisasai, the same way that a Kodesh Baruch Hu literally weighs the person's mitzvah in Aveira, Yachamevi Asmashona, Kodesh Baruch Hu does a din b'cheshbon on a person's mitzvah in Aveira. So Kodesh Baruch Hu weighs the Averas of each and every human being. The Rambam is very, very clear. This is not only for Jews. This is Kol Boy Olam. We say this time and time again. In the Davening, we say Kol Boy Olam Olam Lefarim Kunei Marim. Rosh Hashanah is a day that is important and a significance for the Umos HaOlam, for the non-Jewish world as well. The Rambam says, on the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah, Shokhan HaVenet, Kalech Yehovei Olam, Kriyaz B'Yom Tov Shal Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the Yom HaDin, and this is what happens in Rosh Hashanah. The Rambam quotes the famous Gemara Masech Rosh Hashanah. We have a tradition, but there are three different categories on Rosh Hashanah. Misha Nimsa Tzadik, a person is considered to be a Tzadik, Nechtam L'chaim. But for him, he gets a Chasiba, a Ksiva, and a Chasiba Toiva. That's why our midrash is that we greet our friends and our relatives and neighbors on Rosh Hashanah by saying Meshana Tov Tikasev Tichasev, because we don't want to just wish them Meshana Tov Tikasev. That's what our minig is, because Tikasev would be the enough tzaddik. We want to show everybody that we're not everyone lechatzos. We treat everybody as tzaddik and gemurim. And if our minig is we say Meshana Tov Tikasev Tichasev. Never if a person is a Rosh and Rosh Hashanah nechtam lemisa, it's over for him. The chesim is done, finished, signed, sealed, and delivered. Let's start there to mitzvah. Let's say Yom Kippur. What do we make such a tumult about Aseret B'Tshuva, about Yom Kippur? It's over. It's done. The game's over in Rosh Hashanah. As the Rambam quoted the Gemara about Beinoni, those who are in the middle. And the Rambam is quick to point out in another place, a Beinoni is probably all of us, because we have no way of knowing how many mitzvahs we do. This is not a game. This is not a number count. There are some mitzvahs that outweigh multiple Averis and vice versa. And therefore, the Rambam tells us, in a certain sense, we're all Beinonim. And what does the Kodesh Baruch Hu do with the Beinonim? Tolin Osad Yom Kippur. Wait. It holds off for 10 days until Yom Kippur. Now, if I would just stop at this point, I would say, and what's supposed to happen in those 10 days? I would think very simple. You better do a few more mitzvahs, because you were just 50-50. So, at the state that you were on Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't treat you as a tzaddik, but didn't treat you as a Rosh Hashanah. You're 50-50. I would say, make sure you put on film the next day. You do something. Do something to get you to 51 to 49. The Rambam doesn't say that. The Rambam writes, "If also tshuva nechtam l'chayim v'mlav nechtam." The Rambam writes that if a person during the first week tshuva takes the opportunity and does tshuva, then he wins. And if not, achmanu l'slan is nechtam l'misa. So this is a very, very problematic Rambam, because Seth Shulman here. Why is shooting so important? The Ramadan should have simply said, there's a number game, there's statistics. Let's just get the 50.001%. I'll do one mitzvah, I'll keep my mouth shut, won't talk with Lashon Hara, I'll say Krishna once, and I'm good to go. I made it into the Sefer Chaim. So why does the Rambam not say that? The Rambam says, no, oh yeah, Gevalt, you better do tshuva. Why is that so important? There's a famous word that over from the people of Petzburg, Tamina of Salanta, he said over that what the Rambam is telling us is the following yesterday. The Rambam told us in the tshuva that we have no idea, no human being knows what the calculation of mitzvah and averus are. To do a mitzvah, and that mitzvah could be so powerful, it could be so dear in the eyes of Kadosh Baruch Hu, it could counteract hundreds and thousands of averus. And vice versa, Chris could do such a chet gadol that could offset multiple mitzvahs. We have really no idea. That's the mitzvah, when a seris of a tshuva comes, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up the opportunity for tshuva, and you don't respond accordingly, that is not just a bitul mitzvah tshuva. That is the ultimate slap of the face to Ribbono Shel Olam. That's the ultimate disgrace to Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam is opening the door for you, giving you the opportunity to tshuva. I'm not interested. If you don't do tshuva in the middle of December, that's like missing Krishna. I'm not advocating missing Krishna. That's like not shaking your luma. I'm not advocating that. But it's a mitzvah. It's a bitul mitzvah. The world won't come to an end. But if you don't do tshuva during the test, the tshuva is up to the mitzvah. You're not doing tshuva. What you're doing is you're closing the door when HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened it to you. You're not taking advantage of the chesed of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that is such a powerful chet, such a powerful aveira, such an unbelievable level of chet. There is nothing you could possibly do. You could learn 24 hours a day during the test of the tshuva. You can give billions of dollars of tzedakah, but you weren't chet of the tshuva. There is nothing that could rectify that bizyainus that Ribbono Shel Olam has not been chet of the tshuva. That's pshat. I think we could extrapolate from this verse, the mitzvah verse in the Rambam, that was said primarily during the test of the tshuva, and plug it in say, Sarah, the Rambam writes, and gave us a tainus, emphasizes the fact that Sarah and a Sarah is a time for tshuva. Person has to chay the tshuva. Hebrew has to chay the tshuva. We do not have Ruach HaKodesh today, we don't have the Zavuah today, so we're not yet to pinpoint which chatoim other people should be chayte, who should be chayte the tshuva. We should work on our own. Each person should make their own din nechashbin that they have to improve themselves in. But each person has to be chayte the tshuva. There's a mitzvah tshuva today more above and beyond the regular tshuva of a month ago. A month ago was nice. Yeah, tshuva is a great thing. In the middle of Chodesh Shvat also, in the middle of the winter, you also chayte the tshuva. But you're living in the time of an Eisar, we're living in the time of Eisar, which is an Eisar for Klal, an Eisar for the whole world, an Eisar that we have not seen the likes of such an Eisara in so many years. The world hasn't seen such an Eisara. So the Bechayev of Tshuva is so great that a person who doesn't avail himself in some shape or form to try to be misakin something during these days, so it shouldn't be the Chlav, what the Rambam says, that in Loas of Tshuva, so there's no hope. So Chazor of Tshuva today is a greater mix of Tshuva than it was a month ago, after because of an Eisara. So an Eisara is a halachic concept. It changes the rules of the game. Tefillah last month was a rabbanik, now it's an Eisara. Tshuva last month was a nice thing to do. You do it, you don't, you do it, you don't, you don't, but the world will come to an end. Now, if you don't do it, now it's considered to be so much more of a profound chisaron. There's a third area, we are talking the Tshuva Tzul Tzedakah model. There's a third area where also Eisara takes on a whole brand new aspect of the halacha. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechet Chula and Abdeis, Amin Alpha and Abdeis and Abdeis, comments on the Pasuk in Tashit Kiseit and Aksiv, V'chisechta linda la'yeh b'chachet. The Torah tells us that if a person takes a nedah that they're going to bring an animal, bring a gift to the Beit HaMikdash, then they better do it. When the Nisra of Baal Ta'achi, you're not allowed to dilly-dally, you're not allowed to delay. The person takes a nedah that they're going to bring something, they have to do it right away. There are halachas, you have to bring it within Gimel Golem, or maybe even one regal to a certain extent. But the Gemara has a Masechet in Rosh Hashanah about non-carbonous things. The person says they're going to give money to tzedakah. They're not supposed to dray around. They should try to give the money right away. But the Torah says that it's not a good idea to take tzedakah. The person should be very careful. Shouldn't say, I'm giving, the person says, I'm giving $1,000 to tzedakah. That's a neder. According to many Acharonim, even if you think you're going to give the gift, when the dice, the person having an appeal in shul, and the guy thinks, yeah, I'm going to give $1,000 to the face, to shiva, to shul, to the mikvah, whatever it is. So according to many, that's binding. Even if you didn't open up your mouth, So first, don't get into the habit of chisechtel. It's not a good idea to take the darim. Because if you take the darim and you forget, you're careless, you're negligent, it could be a big problem. So the chisechtel is all you have a chachet. It says in Kehelet, Tov asher lo tidor mishet tidor lo tishalem. The Pesach says it's better not to take a neder than to take a neder not to pay down. If you look at the nuance of the phrase in Kehelet, the Pesach in Kehelet, it says that it's better to keep your mouth shut. Don't take the darim, because if you take the darim, you're not going to pay. Tanya, we learned to the Braitha. The mayor says that it's better, don't open your mouth to chlap. If you already open your mouth, if you're nether, you better pay right away. But if you want to know what's smart, says the mayor, don't take a nether altogether. The Rebbe says that if you really do pay, it's not so terrible, then it's more qualified to be a little bit, we're not learning the whole sugya right now. But suffice it to say, generally speaking, the halach is we try to discourage the darim. We try to talk people out of, don't open up your mouth and say you give $1 million to tzedakah. Don't just do it. Don't open up your mouth if you're going to do it. The Tosfos quotes in the sixth amount of Kermit, the Chulin of Ezra days, in time of Askeva Yidah Yaakov Neder. What are you talking about? What do you have to do tomorrow? Say you're not allowed to take the darim for mitzvah to tzedakah? Yaakov Avinu? Me love a golem, Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov took a nether, he gave a nether that he's going to asher us rent a loch, he's going to give a tenth, he's the source for the minig of my self him. So when Yaakov Avinu took a nether, so how could we found upon the darn? Uchziv, Eta Shevetai, Yeshalema, says in Yonah, when Yonah was drowning and swallowed up by the fish, and nether, Eta Shevetai, Yeshalema, he promised us to bring a carpet to do mitzvahs. So some of the Pesukim and Tanakh seem to look favorably upon the darn. How could they have called him Kehelet? The Brice, the one who went frown upon taking the darim, if there are Sukkim and Tanakh that are clearly advocating this practice. The Tosfos, Yesh Loima, the Bishas, Tzara, Shar. The Tosfos, a Tzara, all rules are off. A Tzara, then it's a good idea. The Damin and Beracious Rabbi, Yidah Yaakov Neda Lamar. What does it mean, Lamar? She just said, Yidah Yaakov Neda, and Yaakov took a Neda. What does Lamar mean? Lamar means Ladeiras, Hunedu, the Tzara. Yaakov Avinu taught us that it is appropriate to take the darim for seductive, for sagacious, things like that, be a tzara. I mean, I'm not advocating, I'm still too nervous, I'm a nervous guy, even be a tzara, I'm nervous. So I'm still a big believer of the bli neder lashon all the time. But theoretically, if you can follow it, the shteyn tzitzis, that's again, there's not a psach halacha, but the shteyn tzitzis, that if it's a tzara, so that it's a good thing, and it's a bit fun for it's supposed to be made there, because the tzarech for tzedakah is so great at the time, that a person has to take all the abdus, all the chizuk, whatever will help him to give more tzedakah. So, commemorate the Meshubach at a time of B'nai Tzedakah. So, basically, what we've seen here is that almost these three parts of our lives that we usually associate with Hashem and Kippur, that's the tshuva, which are the tshuva tefillah tzedakah, are not just Mavidas Ra'a Gezerah. And that's just mechanisms to offset Gezerah's Ra'a B'nai Shanayim, but each one of their own is a mitzvah. Tshuva is one of the tag mitzvahs. Tefillah is one of the tag mitzvahs. Tzedakah is one of the tag mitzvahs. And there are halachas that govern these three mitzvahs, and the halachas change radically when you enter into a time of an Eitz Tzara. When you enter into a time of an Eitz Tzara, all of a sudden the tefillah becomes deraisa, according to the Ramban. According to the tshuva becomes different, the tshuva and an Eitz Tzara becomes so critical that the lack thereof becomes almost like a bizayim to your ben shalom. And the tzedakah, which is always a wonderful mitzvah, but we don't want you to open your mouth too quick, we don't want you to take too many nedarim, the Eitz Tzara somehow, shastar Eitz Tzara, everything changes, even in terms of the tzedakah. One could suggest that perhaps something else that also changes a little bit the Eitz Tzara, and that is the notion of Tamat Torah. So Tamat Torah is always a gevaldike mitzvah. Tamat Torah, Malon Agov, the Tzara, Tamat Torah, Kulam. I think we spoke many, many times in many, many different forms about the gavus of the mitzvah of Tamat Torah. But perhaps one could argue that there's an added component that a Tamat Torah, the Eitz Tzara, is an even more profound, an even greater level of mitzvah Tamat Torah. And we find the courage for this idea as well. Because I'll speak about the ultimate Eitz Tzara before in the pasuk in Halacha, the Ramban made reference to in Ketan Mitzvah. The ultimate Eitz Tzara, the prototype of the Eitz Tzara, is the Shas HaMukoma. The Gemara tells us that when it comes to Shas HaMukoma, the Koach HaTzair is so critical, leaving HaTzair is so, such a major, major component of the battle of the time of Mukoma, to such an extent that Chazal tells us בזמן שכל שיעקב נשתם בתק נשיח בת מדרשת, and the voice of Yaakov Avinu and the voice of Torah is loud and strong in the Beit Medrash, so that helps defeat the Yadayim Shel Esav. So that's true Lagabi Mokom, it's true Lagabi Ogezeris as well, but the Koach of Torah, of Limud HaTorah, is a tremendous shmira on individuals, tremendous shmira on the Sibra, tremendous shmira on Chaikol, tremendous shmira on the entire world. But the Rishami tells us that Talmud Torah is such a powerful mitzvah that each and every word, every time here we're giving a shiur for 40 minutes, and every word of Torah that we're saying, we think about, that's what I have to speak for, you get more mitzvahs, the more words you say, the more mitzvahs you get. So for every word that I'm saying, so it's being multiplied by, I only see X amount of people on the screen, I think there are probably much more people on the screen. So Baruch Hashem, people calling in, people listening to different Torah, the learning, Yom Valayla, the amount of Torah that's being learned is a tremendous shmira for the entire world. So now is the time that the care that we have to be mechazik ourselves because it's Neis Torah, and because there's a Neis Mechama and a Neis Torah, because you have these difficult, distressing times, but Torah becomes even more important. Now, Torah takes on a whole new dimension. So we find that there are so many mitzvahs of Torah, the mitzvahs that we take so seriously the rest of the year, but now take on a whole new light to them. We have the mitzvah of we have the mitzvah of tshuva, based on the Lashon Hara and the tshuva, the Itzvah's birth. We have the Tzayin Chulin, it says the same part about the mitzvah of the mitzvah tzedakah. We have the mitzvah of the Tavit Torah, which is again, the man shekol sheyakov nishba, it is so important. Perhaps there's almost an underlying principle that really, in a sense, unites and connects all of the above, and that's the notion that particularly, especially at an Eitz Tzara, so there's almost like a special kibbutz of a kib, almost like a special opportunity for a closeness between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. It's a little bit counterintuitive. We think of an Eitz Tzara as being a time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning away, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not watching, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care. And Chazal tell us the exact opposite is really true. Chazal tell us that learning Pasha, this is Pasha Bitchem, Pasha Tiyakto, Pasha Kuday. So we read a little bit about the Orang, about the Kruvim. Chazal tell us that Kruvim sometimes faced each other and sometimes turned away from one another. The name, one of the miracles of the Mikdash is that the Kruvim would turn on their own. When were the Kruvim close to one another? They were close to one another when the Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael were close to one another. Then they were hugging one another. And when were the Kruvim back to back, not looking at each other, staying away? There's man she'ein Yisrael osu b'tzad and shemokan. When Klai Yisrael weren't acting up to par, so Kadosh Baruch Hu turned away from them. Chazal described at the time of the Churban, when the Goyim entered into the Kiddush HaKadosh and destroyed the Beit HaMikdash, that they saw that the Kruvim were hugging one another. And the Goyim were laughing, they were making like fun, they were making fun. How could it be that the Kruvim, what a silly thing, what an inappropriate image of the Kruvim hugging one another at the time of the Churban. Chaim Levitz, if I'm not mistaken, points this out, that why were the Kruvim hugging? This was not a time of an Eitzrasam. This is not a time when Klai Yisrael were acting up the bar. This is the Churban. Why were the Kruvim hugging one another at the time? They should have been as far apart as possible. So the claim is that when a Kadosh Baruch Hu actually brings about a Tzara to Klal Yisrael, so there's a tremendous, tremendous problem. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the Tzara, that's indicative that he cares. If Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't care about the world, then he wouldn't intervene in the world. He would let the world just go on its own way. Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Chazo, Adodol, sometimes, the same way that Kashi Yasu, Isha, to know, Hashem Lekech, and Yasureka, the family, sometimes the parent, sometimes the parent disciplines the child, not because the parent doesn't love the child, but care, because the parent loves the child so much. So when you have an Eitz Tzara, so it's not that Kadosh Baruch Hu is not looking. Kadosh Baruch Hu is looking so close. Kadosh Baruch Hu is so close to us that the Kruvim are hugging, the Kruvim are hanging on to one another for dear life. That's the imagery Dafka today. So that makes perfect sense. And all the mitzvahs that we're talking about, things that connect us to the Kadosh Baruch Hu, whether it's the mitzvah of tshuva, whether it's the mitzvah of tefillah, whether it's benon lechaveira, the mitzvah of chasadim, prototyping tzedakah, whether it's the mitzvah of Torah. These are all vehicles to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. When you have an Eitz Tzara, so there's a special kibbutz elokim in the air, there's a special closeness to Kadosh Baruch Hu, things that perhaps we can accomplish in Avodas Hashem that we're not able to accomplish under regular terms. Again, we don't ask the Aesir. We hope the Aesir should leave. It should go away as soon as possible. But for whatever reason, if Baruch Hu has inflicting the world in Aesir, comes the corollary of the Aesir is a tremendous possibility for Kirvas Elohim, for closeness of Kirvas Baruch Hu, a tremendous growth in our own Abedis Hashem and our own Ruchnias. So we should hopefully take to give Aesir with the utmost seriousness and contemplate and integrate into our lives and make these days. These days are days of potentially great days of tshuva, great days of tshuva, great days of tshuva, great days of luminosity, great days. Again, at the same time, we daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of Tzaras, the same way we daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu at the end of Churb and the end of Golas, at the same time, Kol Zman the Tzaras here, so then we use the time, hopefully as best we can, to reconnect, connect even stronger to a higher level to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So,
the recording has stopped.
Everybody should stay well.
This meeting is being recorded.
Everybody should stay well, Bain Bagashmir, Bain Baruchnir, and hopefully Mr. Shem will have more opportunities to have more shiurim. So keep posted, keep in touch. I think we're probably going to have something that's going to be primarily for our shul tomorrow night. But again, obviously, any different Torah open to the whole world at this point. So we'll keep in touch with the people from our shul. Probably have a little some divrei chizuk tomorrow night. Lekras Shabbos already. So again, we'll be in touch, and Mr. Shem, we'll everyone should just stay well and stay healthy and take care of all your family. Also, good night.
Rebbe.
Yeah.
Are you recommending to add Avinu Malkeinu with Shachris and Mincha?
So you know, it's not a question of me personally recommending it. I did see something from the Rabbanut about it. I did. Is that true? I wasn't even sure whether there was a recommendation. What was the recommendation?
What I heard in the name of Rav Schechter.
Rav Schechter was there.
Rav Nevensall had a thing on his door that he was recommending it also, supposedly.
Okay, and Rav Schechter thought that we should follow in America? Was that his recommendation?